This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right, good morning. Let's turn to the second of the minor prophets. Anybody know where that would be? The minor prophets begin with Hosea. Joel, yes. There we go. There are 12 minor prophets. They're the last 12 books of the Old Testament. The fact that they're called minor does not mean that they're not as important as the major prophets. They're every bit as important. Brother Chris likes to kind of joke around about Zechariah, which has 14 chapters, and Daniel only has 12 chapters. And Daniel is considered a major prophet, and Zechariah a minor prophet. He says, poor Zechariah got pushed off to the minor prophets. But regardless, you see that the minor prophets mostly are shorter books than the major prophets. But let's take a look at Joel chapter 1, and let's take a look at the first seven verses. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Joel chapter 1. The Bible says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. So let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless our time here in His Word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we just want to thank You for just being able to read these words. And these words are certainly precious words. I know that they are to You, and pray that they would be to all of us today. Lord, we want to pray that You would do spiritual work here, as I certainly am completely unaware of what really needs to happen here today, but You are fully aware. And I pray that what comes out of my mouth would be what You want, not what I want. And I just pray that You'd help folks that are listening today and here among us, that Your Word would just do work within us, and Your Holy Spirit really move on us today. And Lord, we just want You to be welcome here. We want the name of Jesus Christ to be lifted up, as is certainly deserved. We pray this in His name. Amen. So let's just take a look at a couple things here for introduction's sake, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. But I got thinking about that word or that name, Joel, J-O-E-L. Got any other names in your Bible that either begin or end with E-L? Let's go through a few here. This is just a small sample. Eli, remember the Old Testament priest? E-L-I, the E-L at the beginning. Elijah and Elisha, got the E-L at the beginning. There's a man in the book of Job, Elihu. There's one of David's brothers, Eliab. There's Eliphaz, also in Job. There's Elimelech over in the book of Ruth. And over in the New Testament, there's Elizabeth, E-L. Isn't that interesting? I don't think that's an accident. It's not, obviously. Then at the end of some words or some names, Bethel, I could say. Bethel, we would say. E-L on the end, regardless. How about Israel, E-L on the end, Samuel, Othniel, Ezekiel, Daniel. How about one of the angels named in your Bible, Gabriel, and then the archangel, Michael, E-L on the end, and then God with us, what's the name? Emmanuel. So I got to look into that, and did you know that in Hebrew, the Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew words for God is Elohim, E-L at the beginning. And I really believe, and I was telling Sherry this morning, I'd like to really study this more. I think there's a distinct connection that God drew between the Hebrew and English languages. And you don't have to learn Hebrew. You just need to understand that that EL there means God. What's interesting about Elohim, and if you were here Wednesday night, this makes perfect sense. Elohim is a name for God, the one true God. I said the one true God. Yet Elohim is a plural. Now, that's not confusing if you understand Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? One God, three persons. So I thought that was interesting. So anytime you see the EL at the beginning or the end of a name, that person's name has something to do with God himself. All right, so Joel is obviously one of those, one of many. So look for that as you go through your Bible. Again, I mentioned that Joel is one of the minor prophets, and I'll tell you the subject matter of the minor prophets. I know the first several times, I mean a number of times I read through the minor prophets, and I said to myself, what in the world is going on here? What is all this? And here's what I finally grew to understand. Most of the material found in the minor prophets centers around two events that are both future. Event number one, the Great Tribulation. Event number two, the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will happen at the end of the tribulation, where the Lord will defeat the Antichrist and will set up his kingdom. You know, there's an attempt to overthrow the Lord. And it will seem as if the Lord has been overthrown and the Antichrist, the beast, will have parted the land, the promised land. And then the Lord will have to come in, and what's he going to have to do to set up his kingdom? Drive out the enemy. In fact, get rid of the enemy. And he will do that. Set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. So when you read the minor prophets, if you understand it's mostly prophetic material, still future even to us, it sure does help. So you will see that one of the things that is mentioned several times here in the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. So let's take a look at that just real quick here. We'll get to some real practical things here in a moment, but we'll have a little fun here for a moment before we get into that. Look at verse 15. I did not read down that far, but just take a look. I want you to look for this phrase, the day of the Lord. And I want you to think about what kind of day this is as we read about it in Joel. Verse 15 of chapter 1. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. So that's a destructive day, according to verse 15. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. Day of the Lord, look for it. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. See, notice there, the inhabitants of the land will be trembling because of fear of Almighty God coming down. Go on to verse 2, because it expands on the day of the Lord. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Folks, I'll just tell you this, we'll read a couple more. This is a day that's in the future that you want to make sure on this day you are on the Lord's side. Folks, if you're not on the Lord's side today, I urge you, you get on the Lord's side. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what I mean by being on the Lord's side. If you are not on the Lord's side, when this day arrives, it will be the worst day ever. I've had some bad days in my life. I'm sure you have too. This will be far worse than your worst day. This will be a destructive day for the unbeliever, for the enemies of God. Go down there to verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11. Let's look at it again. The day of the Lord. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? You know who can abide it among the enemies of God? You ready? None of them. Better make sure you're on the right side. Okay, go to chapter 2, verse 31, towards the end there, chapter 2. Still in Joel. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Oh, some incredible things here. Go to chapter 3, verse 14. There's a lot we could say about that, but we'll save it. Go to chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Folks, again, I'll just say, make sure you're on the Lord's side. This is a day coming when the enemies of God will be judged. And again, God will have to drive out the enemies from the land that he gave to Israel so that he can set up his kingdom and give those Israelites the land that he promised them long time ago. So thinking about these prophetic things, when the Lord speaks, folks, you can, I hate to say bank on it because we don't bet on these things, but I guarantee you, when the Lord says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. There's no doubt. And there's so much. A lot of folks read the Bible and they think that it's prophecy that already came to pass. It was prophesied before the event happened. And then the event happened. So all this prophecy is in the past. Now that's true to some degree, but there's so much, particularly the bulk of the material here in the Minor Prophets, it has not happened yet. So you understand where we are in time, I hope. We're obviously a couple thousand years after the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection. A great marker on God's calendar, right? That's the day I look back to for my salvation. But I look forward to a day that is a whole lot better than today. I look forward to a day where I will no longer have this body. I'll meet the Lord in the air. And then for a time here on the earth, there'll be great tribulation. I'll tell you one of the many reasons why, there's several reasons I give you, but one reason I'll give you for the church not going through the tribulation. Now think about this for a moment. This day of the Lord is a day of God's wrath here on earth. Folks, if you're saved, who suffered your wrath? Who suffered God's wrath for you? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ? So you think the Lord would save you from wrath, from his wrath, and then say, oh, I'm going to leave you here for my wrath? Doesn't make any sense. So during that time, folks, if you're saved, you won't be here for that. Amen? Now, here on earth, oh boy, the earth will think, oh, this is a glorious time because a man will rise to power that will have all the answers to all the world's problems. And then that man, you can draw a lot of parallels between that man that's going to show up, the man of sin, the beast, and Judas Iscariot. And if you know anything about Judas Iscariot, he seemed like a good guy for 3.5 years. And then what happened after 3.5 years? He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could say that he's the backstabber. That's exactly what the beast will do to the nation of Israel. And in fact, not just them, but so many people will look to him for all the answers, and they will realize, we thought he had the answers, we were wrong. And it'll be too late for many. So folks, trust the Lord Jesus Christ if you've not already done so. Good verse on God's word being fulfilled. Ezekiel 12:25. I'll just read it for you. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And that's every time, folks. Every time the Lord says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now let's have a little fun here. Go back to Joel chapter 1. Speaking of the future, some things still to come. There's a lot of things in the minor prophets that you can match up with the New Testament book of prophecy. Now, what would that be? I know there's a lot of prophecy in the New Testament, but mainly book of Revelation, right? So let's do that real quick. This will be real interesting. Go to chapter 1 of Joel there. And did you notice there in verse 4, there's a palmer worm mentioned. There's a locust mentioned. There's a canker worm and a caterpillar. How would you classify all four of those? Pests. Sam said it just like Sherry would say it. Bugs. And if anybody hates a bug that's in this room right now, it is Sherry. She does not like bugs. I took Sherry to the camp up in Massachusetts she endured, and I mean endured, a faithful wife, 5 years living in a little wooden house in the woods. And there's all kinds of little creatures that you would think maybe are all outside the wooden house. They were inside the wooden house, yes. And so she was a trooper through that. But I don't like the bugs. She tells me to kill them, and I don't want them around, but I don't really want to have to mess with them. But you got to get rid of them. Nobody likes these pests, and that's exactly what they are, aren't they? You ever notice mosquitoes? They're just annoying pests, aren't they? And a lot of times they don't always get you. They don't always bite you, but they're just annoying. And then if you've had other creatures, unfortunately, we brought back some creatures from camp. This is one of the years I went alone. I brought back some creatures that none of you want to have. Miss Marge jokes about them in one of her little sayings that she has. But I brought back bed bugs in my suitcase from camp. So guess where they decided to make a home? In our little condo. And a couple of months passed by. I had no idea. And a couple of months passed by. Guess what that gave them time to do? Multiply. Oh, yeah. And if you've never had bed bugs, you better ask the Lord to never have bed bugs because they were annoying. But I tell you that these pests show up. And when pests show up in your Bible, you know what they often are used for? Come on, think about the Israelites in Egypt. Now, it wasn't on the Israelites, but it was on the land of Egypt. Didn't we have some pests there? What kind of pests? Had some locusts show up, right? And those locusts were judgment upon those Egyptians and their crops, because they had a god that was associated with the crops. So, if you would, with the, thinking about those locusts in verse 4, go down to verse 6. Let's get a little bit more about this. I want to put a couple verses together, and then we'll connect some dots. Verse 6, a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number. Now, watch this part right here and remember this. Whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Okay, so again, you know, you've been here long enough, you know that this is what we do in the pulpit. Anybody who's in this pulpit does this. We'll take some things in the Old Testament or one book of the Bible and then see how they match up elsewhere. So I want you to remember two things. Locusts and the teeth of a lion. And let's go over to Revelation 9 and you'll see something that's really interesting. Revelation 9. I'll tell you, folks, that this stuff right here just makes me see that the Bible is God's book, and nobody could have put this together but the Lord himself, with men writing so many years apart. So go to Revelation chapter 9. The great thing is we've got the complete account here, 66 books, and we're able to put some things together that really make a lot of sense whenever you put them together. Go to chapter 9. I'm going to read quite a bit here in chapter 9, and I think I need to give a little background. So what we're reading about here is one of the many judgments that's still future that will be coming in the Great Tribulation. Now, you understand, Jeremiah chapter 30 calls that time the time of Jacob's trouble. That's very important you get that. The time of Jacob's trouble. And if you know your Old Testament, Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. So that time of tribulation is going to be a great time of trouble for the nation of Israel. Now, you know why that is. God starts to turn his focus back to Israel during that time. But Israel doesn't have anything to do with God right now, and they won't at the beginning of that time. But when do people seek the Lord, folks? When things are going rough. And that nation will seek the Lord during that time. After going through a lot of this judgment, they will finally seek the Lord. And they'll call upon him to deliver them, and the Lord Jesus Christ will certainly do so at the end. So go to chapter 9 and look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, folks, I just want you to notice in verse 3, it does not say creatures as locusts. It actually says what? It says locusts. And it says that they are, have the power as the scorpion, but these are, I believe the Bible literally right here, they're locusts. But they're not any ordinary locusts like you and I see. Look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So these are locusts that are carrying out judgment, God's judgment upon men. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And again, watch verse 6, and you see you want to avoid this time period. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Wow. Now look at verse 7 about these locusts. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. What a wild looking creature you got there. No sci-fi movie could ever do justice. Not even close. Now look at verse 8 and see if you connect the dots here. And they, that would be these locusts, they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as, notice, of all things, the teeth of lions. Where do we see something about the teeth of lions, folks? Over there in Joel. You realize when Joel speaks over there, I mean, this is before the time of Jesus Christ, around 800 BC. When he speaks, he's still looking into the future from where we're standing at some things to come. And again, you put all this together. Go on to verse 9 and get some more on these locusts. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. Notice verse 11. This is a whole other message here, but I'll read it because it's interesting. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Folks, those are some creatures that I don't even want to, I don't know if I want to even see those creatures standing from heaven. That's going to be some creatures that will wreak some havoc. 5 months they torment men. And that is God's judgment, one of many things that God used in tribulation for judgment during that time. So I just thought that was interesting, try to connect some dots here with Joel. So go back there to Joel. And now we'll get into some practical things here, over here in the book of Joel. Those minor prophets are kind of hard to find sometimes, aren't they? You flip back there. Go back to Joel chapter 1. Now, here's the message that I want to spend the rest of our time on. If you take a look, I want to look at some key words here. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. And what's that first word in verse 2? It's the word hear. Now go down there to verse 3, and what's the first word in verse 3? Tell. And then go down to verse 5, and what's the first word in verse 5? Okay, we have some practical, some real practical stuff right here in Joel. Folks, this message is about three activities that we all ought to be involved in that are listed right here. And I'll make all kinds of just the Word of God, you can make all kinds of New Testament connections here. But let's take a look at verse 2, and let's spend some time on this first point, which is here. So three-point outline, hear, tell, awake. Let's spend some time on here. So let's read it again. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Now notice this is a question that's asked. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? And then he goes on to tell the next few verses about, or down to verse 4, about these locusts that are to come. So when Joel says this, he's saying, hey, this hasn't come yet, but it will come. So there's the reminder there that they need to hear from God about, specifically here, God's coming judgment. Folks, if there's things that people in the world need to hear about today, it's God's coming judgment. And it's not just gloom and doom. We need to tell them that God's going to judge this earth. We need to tell them that their soul will be judged in hell if they don't receive Jesus Christ. It's not gloom and doom, though. It doesn't end there. There's an escape. There's deliverance. That's only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ. So let's spend some time on this thing about here. And go over to the book of Proverbs. Keep your finger here. We'll come back to Joel. But let's look at some things about hearing. Whole bunch of things in Proverbs about hearing. Go to Proverbs 1. And just hearing is how we communicate, right? Obviously, somebody has to speak. But if you want to communicate with somebody, you can speak all you want. It's not going to do any good if they don't hear you. So, having been in Christian schools for 21 years now, I've worked in a few different Christian schools, and I have been in a couple where communication has been, I mean, top notch. I almost knew more than I needed to know, which actually was good. I'll say it like this: they would tell you the same thing in many different ways. I would get a text message, I would get an email, I would get in person, and I thought to myself after being in that for a while, I was like, man, they really over communicate this place. And then I moved to a place where that nobody talks at all. They didn't tell anybody what's going on. And I thought, man, I really appreciated when I got the email, the text, and in person. And sometimes a note in my mailbox. So communication is important. You know what happens? Those schools that I've worked in where there's not any communication or very little, nobody's on the same page. This person over here is doing their thing. This person over here is doing their thing. I'm trying to find out what to do. So communication is important, but communication requires the first thing, speaking, and the second thing, what is spoken must be heard. So what's the greatest thing? What's the most important thing that you could hear in your life? Hear from God. Hear from His Word. So take a look here. Now, if you know anything about the Proverbs, this is Solomon writing to his son. And his son, he wanted his son to hear some of his wisdom so that his son would take it in, and then put it into action. Folks, what's the purpose of us hearing from God? Take it in, put it into action, right? In fact, that's our third point. We're going to hear, and then second and third, actually. We're going to hear. We want to tell people. That's action, right? And then we want to wake up. We want to awake. That's action. God's desire is that you not just hear and get fat with all the hearing. God's desire is that we hear and then do something. Amen? By the way, at the end of every message here at this church, we give an invitation. You know what that's for? And I know you don't have to come down to the front. You don't have to do that. But you know why we give an invitation? It's for an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to immediately, and that's the best time to do it, by the way, immediately respond, take action concerning what you heard. And I know here at church, you can't do all the things that maybe God is showing you that you ought to do during the week. You know what you can do? You can come down here and pray and ask the Lord to help you put these things into action that you heard. So I just encourage you, take advantage of the times of invitation. And again, whether it's in your seat or down here, I just encourage you, take advantage of it. God intends for you to come here every Sunday, every Wednesday when you come, and hear and then respond with action. And I'll tell you, I'll get this in a message in a minute. The problem with churches today, I say churches today, the problem with the church over the last 30 years, I'd say, and maybe you can go back before that, is there's been a lot of hearing and not near enough action taken because of the hearing. And people just content with coming to church and checking the box. I hope you're not like that. I hope you're wanting to take action. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 5. A wise man will do what? Hear, and look at the result, will increase learning. So the first step there in being wise is doing what? Hearing. What's the purpose there according to verse 5? Hear so that you might learn. All right? So there's the first thing. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Some more on hearing. Some more on hearing. Now, Sherry and I teach, and she teaches 5th and 6th grade. I do junior high, high school. And I will tell you the biggest challenge I have every day of the week. You ready for this? What do you think the biggest challenge we have every day is? And any teacher in any school today, get the kids to listen. That's the biggest challenge. And I hope we don't have that same problem in churches, but it's probably the case we do. So if you, folks, if you are already a hearer, praise the Lord. If you're not a hearer, God wants you to hear some things, right? So let's start hearing some things from the Lord, obviously. Verse 6, Proverbs 8, 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Why should you hear from God? He has some excellent things for us to hear. He has some right things for us to hear. You know what the world will fill you full of? Not so excellent things. Untrue, not so right things. Hear from the Lord. You'll get all the excellent and right things you need. Proverbs 8:33, same chapter. Go down there. 8:33. Hear instruction and be wise. And refuse it not. And you keep seeing that hearing and wisdom are connected there. Go down to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. A few pages over. Proverbs 15. Go down to the end. Look at verse 32. Proverbs 15:32. Bible says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Notice the contrast. You see this in the Proverbs. The first half of the verse, a person that refuses instruction. The second half of the verse, contrast, someone that hears reproof. Folks, did you notice the results that are given in that verse? The person that refuses instruction, what happens to them? They show that they despise their own soul. Is that what you want? I hope not. Look at the second half. Hopefully this is what you want. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. I hope you'd rather have understanding than despising your own soul. There's a good contrast there. Go to chapter 19. We'll get one more here in Proverbs, and then we'll go to the New Testament for a couple. Chapter 19. Just all this on hearing. God desires that you hear from Him. By the way, I like to listen as we go through the week. I like to listen to preaching. I think it's good that you listen to preaching. I know several of you in here do. And preaching is good, but you know what's better than listening to preaching, folks? Just hearing the Word of God. And I know Brother Jonathan this morning was talking about, he kind of got me doing this, where he has a long drive to work, and he'll play the audio Bible in the car. And that's a great thing. And I'm telling you, the Lord can speak to you. I think he would say this, and I'd say the same thing. The Lord can really speak to you when your mind is on nothing else but hearing from Him. We tend to get distracted. And I know that if you're driving, you need to pay attention to driving. So don't misunderstand me on that. But at the same time, the Lord has shown me, and I was talking to Brandon about this too, so much the Lord has shown me while I'm in the car. And messages have been put together while I'm in the car. as a result of just hearing what God said. And just sometimes taking a big chunk of verses, sometimes just taking a few verses. So the Lord will speak to you, but you got to be willing to listen to Him. All right, go to Proverbs. Actually, let's go to the New Testament here. Did I read 1927? I did not. Go to 1927. Yeah, real quick. 1927, because this is a good one. 1927 says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And I think that word E-R-R, err, or you could say err, the word error, you don't want to be in error, do you, when it comes to what God said? Okay, how are you going to do that? Stay away, this is what this verse is telling you, stay away from the things that would cause you to be in error when it comes to God's Word. Okay, go to the New Testament. Now here's a verse that you probably know, but always worth looking at. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. The importance of hearing. I hope you came to church today to hear from God. Hear from God by hearing His Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You want your faith to increase? I know there's times where I need my faith to increase. My faith is running on low. That verse gives you the answer. What do you do if your faith is running low? Hear from God. How do you get faith? How did you get saved? Didn't somebody have to tell you what the Bible said and you had to be willing to hear it? So you got faith in Jesus Christ because somebody spoke the truth to you and you had to hear it, right? The beginning point of faith is hearing. Verse tells you that. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll see a little progression here. Last one here on hearing. And then we'll go on to the next one. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 12. Now, we'll read 12 down to 14. Actually, we'll read 12 and 13. And I want you to look at a progression that involves hearing from God here. So go to verse 12, Ephesians 1, 12. "That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye did what?" Okay, so the hearing comes first. Ye heard the word of truth. Notice the trusting comes after the hearing. "Ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that, ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Folks, look at all the work that God does that begins simply with you hearing from Him. You hear, you make a decision, believe or not. When you believe, what happens? Well, belief is the key to salvation, right? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what does God do when you believe on Jesus Christ? What's his action taken? What does He do? Did you see it? He seals you with the Holy Spirit. See, God takes action when we believe what we hear from His Word. Pretty neat. Okay, so I was thinking about that word here. I tell you what, go to one more place in the New Testament. We need to look at this one. Go to Luke chapter 6. Think about that word hear. H-E-A-R. H-E-A-R. Add a T to the word hear, and what do you have? The word heart. You know how things get into your heart? You have some gates that go from the outside to the inside of your heart. Guess what one of them is? Your ears. Yes, your hearing is one of the gateways to get things into your heart. The Bible tells you this, so don't believe me. Believe with the Bible. Go to Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil." Now watch this. This would actually be going on the out, not on the in. "For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth does what?" Okay, so you get into the heart through the ear. That's one of the ways. You go from the heart to the outside. You and I constantly tell people what's on our heart. How? What comes out of our mouth? That's what that verse tells us. What comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our heart. So if you could play back what you said all 7 days of this past week, If the Lord said, "Okay, I'm going to push play on the recorder. I recorded you." And He plays everything that... Forget about what everybody else said. Just what you said over the last 7 days. How's that sound? Only you know, and the Lord. How's that sound? Whatever it is, whether it be evil or good, guess what it is a result of? What's in your heart. It is exactly what's in your heart. So I'll tell you what comes out of a lot of American men. I'll tell you what comes out of their mouth. You ready? Sports. At school, with the boys I hang around, the high school and middle school boys I'm around, in my Bible class, guess what comes out of their mouth? Video games. It's all they talk about. You know what they're doing? They don't even realize it. They're spilling out what's in their heart. And we all do that. Not just them. I do too. And it's sports. It's video games for older folks. It's oftentimes politics. Folks, that's all you talk about. That's okay to a point, but if that's all you talk about, it's not okay. Some of the time, okay, but all the time, you're saying that's the main thing that's on my heart. So if the Lord could do the breakdown on what you said the last 7 days, and He could do a categorization of all the things you said, here's the spiritual things you said, here's the non-spiritual things you said, what's that percentage look like? Because that's a revelation of whatever is in your heart. The percentage reveals what's really in your heart. Okay, so some things to think about with the heart. The heart and the mouth connection there. By the way, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, what do you do with the heart? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder about these people that say they're saved, but they don't want to tell anybody about it. If you want to tell people about it, that's a good indication that God did something on the inside of you, in your heart. So, that's kind of strange that some folks would not ever want to say a word about it. Keep it hidden. Kind of strange, isn't it? That reveals their heart. If you won't say anything about it, maybe there's nothing there spiritually. Maybe the Lord didn't do anything. Just something to think about. Okay, go back there to Joel, and let's look at this next thing. I want to read this verse about telling. Oh boy, this is some interesting stuff here that Joel says. I tell you, every time I read the Bible, every time, really dig in, you see how the words of God, no matter how long ago they were written, they are applicable to the modern day. I mean, you know why? Man's heart is always the same. Brother Jonathan was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Man's heart, from his youth, is set on wicked and evil things. And the only way you're going to keep away from that is through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. First off, you need to get saved. But even after you get saved, this flesh loves the things of this world. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God got to be prominent in your life so that you can drive those things out. Okay, go down there to verse 3. Look at this. Tell ye, back in Joel, by the way, Joel 1:3. Tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children and their children another generation. And I won't read verse 4 again, but verse 4 is about these pests that are associated, we already looked at it, with judgment, right? You know what the Lord desired the people of Joel's day to tell their kids and for their kids to tell their kids? One day in the future, the Lord was going to judge. And God's hammer would drop and judgment would fall. So if He told the people of Joel's day to do that, do you think that maybe we need to hear that today about people today telling the younger generation and the younger generation as they get older telling the generation to come? What do you think? What do you think? Let's look at the New Testament about this. I would say yes. Go to the New Testament. Go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Let's go over there to chapter 1. A couple of verses here in 2 Timothy about telling. So this point is about telling. God commands us to tell some things. And what things are those? Well, in Joel, it was about the Lord's coming judgment. Why would the Lord want people to know about His judgment? How about a warning? Hey, every time there's a hurricane coming, you live in Brevard County. We live on the coast. Every time there's a hurricane coming, don't you want a warning? Would you be upset if you didn't get a warning? Why do you get a warning? You get a warning so that you can make preparation for what's to come. Why does God want to give a warning? People think that God's warnings are mean. As Jonathan said, harsh. God's warnings are so that you will prepare, right? I think it's Amos that says, prepare to meet thy God. You ready? Have you made preparation? God's judgment in His Word that is to be proclaimed is for the purpose of you preparing for the future. Best preparation for the future? Know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you already know Him, God's got some things for you to tell people, which involves God's coming judgment. Not popular to tell about judgment, is it? It's not popular. People want to hear about it. They want to hear good things. But then they'll turn on the news and hear all this bad stuff. Isn't that such a messed up thing? I avoid the news because it's always so negative. They want to tell about all the terrible things that happen. Yeah, people don't want to hear from God about His coming judgment. Something not right there, huh? You feed your mind with all the other junk. It's just kind of crazy how people think. All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look at what Paul says. Now, you know Paul, we don't know that the Bible doesn't say that he was a married man and had children physically. But notice what he says right here. He talks about his son, and it's Timothy. So look at verse 3. Actually, back up to verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, why would he call him his son if it wasn't his actual physical son? It's a spiritual son. Yeah, absolutely. You have any sons and daughters? I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. We all ought to have some sons and daughters. And hopefully that's some folks that you can say, I helped lead that person to Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ saved them. We're not going to try to take any credit away from the Lord, obviously. But God uses men and women to give the truth to people who need to know Him, right? So you can be a spiritual mother or father. That doesn't mean you're there. You tell them everything to do. God does. But hopefully you're leading them in the right direction, just like a parent would with their physical children, correct? So take a look here. Verse 3, he's given some instruction, or actually he's recounting some things about Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance thee of my prayers night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, are you seeing a progression with generations there in verse 5? Who does it sound like was greatly influential on Timothy becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, getting saved and following Jesus Christ? Who does it sound like? Now, we know Paul had an influence there somewhere along the way, for sure. But who else was involved there? A couple of women. Grandmother and mother, amen? I know Mother's Day is still a couple weeks away, but how about some mothers getting the truth to their kids, amen? So mothers that are here, that's the greatest thing you could do. Give God's word, the truth, to your kids. Look what Timothy's grandmother did. Apparently Timothy's grandmother had an influence on his mother, and Timothy's mother had an influence on him. The father's nowhere to be found, by the way. And his father was a Greek. And we don't know that his father was a believer. But I'll tell you that if his father was not a believer, isn't that typical of our world today? It seems like in a lot of homes, the mother is the spiritual one. Shouldn't be like that, but that often is the case. But if that is the case, mama sure ought to, and grandma ought to, pour the truth into granddaughter and grandson and son and daughter. Amen? The greatest thing a grandmother, grandfather, mother or father could do. Now go to chapter 3. Check this out. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And look what Paul says about Timothy. He's talking about him. Let's go down to verse 14. 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, Timothy was a hearer of the word of God. Do you know why he was a hearer of the word of God? Mother, grandmother, and the Apostle Paul, among probably others, were telling him something about what God said. He got the scriptures. That's a great verse, and I praise the Lord that I got the same. I have the same testimony right here. From a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. I'm so glad I got it when I was a kid. I was saved when I was a little boy. I praise God for that. Everybody didn't hear the gospel over and over like I did when I was a kid. I praise God for my mom and dad doing that. So there's some things about telling. Now, I'll just leave you with this. We could chase this some more, but I'll just tell you this. Every generation has responsibility of telling the truth from the Word of God to the succeeding generation so that there is a continual succession of telling the truth and hearing the truth. Now, let's take inventory of 2019. Where are we, folks? We're in 2019, and where are we spiritually when it comes to this generation passing it down to this? This one passing it down to this. They call my generation, I'm from the 90s, I was born in the 70s, but then the 80s and 90s I grew up, they call my generation Generation X. So people in my generation now have kids that are anywhere from little kids to teenagers and some a little older than that. So that generation is now called Generation Z, the generation of kids today, which is interesting. They went X and then there's a Y in there. So I guess the 90s is X. And then after that, from 2000 on is Y. 2000 to 2010, is that about right? And then 2010 to the modern day is Z. Am I getting that about right or a little off? Okay, so regardless, we got X, Y, Z. What comes after Z? If today's kids are Z, what comes after Z? Yeah, I think you're right. Probably judgment. Yeah, nothing after that. So, and I think that's interesting. So, my generation, and I'll wear this, not proudly, but I'll handle this. My generation dropped the ball. Because kids that are in their teens and even younger now, the ones I'm teaching now, don't know a thing about the Bible, and they grow up, they've been growing up in homes where their parents are supposedly Christians, sending them to Christian school. Somebody dropped the ball there. And I think a lot of the parents that are the kids that I teach are my age. So the ball's been dropped. Okay, so now what you're seeing today is a result of that. Now, if my generation doesn't tell or didn't tell the kids that are now in their teens and a little bit younger, if they're not hearing because they're not being told, what about the kids that are in their teens now when they have kids? What's that going to be like? If God's already missing from most of their lives, can't you see the Lord being completely absent from their kids' lives? Now, I'm painting a bleak picture right here. This doesn't sound very good, does it? It doesn't look very good. It should not stop us in the time we got, however short or long that is, from continuing to tell the truth. And tell the truth to anybody and everybody who's willing to listen, folks. So that's why I take my job. I love the fact that I have the opportunity, my job, to talk to this generation that has missed out from right here. And I take that responsibility. To me, it's the greatest responsibility that God would have me take on right now is teach this generation that's not hearing it from mom and dad. And then along the way, maybe you'll get mom and dad. And then mom and dad will start getting in the mix. So Sherry and I being in Christian schools, this is what we're seeing happen. And we got a real burden for. We got to tell these kids because it doesn't sound like anybody else is. And I'm getting way off on some things here. But folks, we've got the perfect words of God. We ought to be passing them on. And here's the thing that's discouraging. A lot of the kids in my class, and Sherry can tell you her classes over the last few years, they don't care. But I'll take one or two. If that's all we got. If we get one or two, that's fine. At least they get it, and I'm passing the baton, and they take the baton and they run with it. And if they got the baton, guess what they'll do? They'll hand it off to somebody else. So if it's only a handful, if it's only one or two, to me that's worth it. Because I do not want to see this book get to the place where it's completely missing from every home. But we're getting there. But I'm not going to stop, and I hope you won't stop either. Folks, let's keep giving it out. Let's hear from God. Let's tell other people what God said after we hear from God. So make sure we keep that action going. Go back there to Joel. We'll get this last point here. Wish we had a little more time on this, but I'll wrap up here, this last point. Number one, hear. Hope you're a hearer of the truth. Number two, tell. Hope you're telling folks. And I'll tell you, everybody's got somebody different in their life. I happen to have the great responsibility and the great privilege of having these kids every day. You have neighbors. You have people at work. You got somebody somewhere that you cross paths with that needs the truth. Let's get it to them. All right, last point here, verse 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. And I just want to spend a moment here on that last word right there, awake. And I'll tell you what we have in our world today. We have a lot of people walking around that look like they're awake, but they're sleeping. I mean, they're actually physically walking around with their eyes open. And they have no idea what's actually going on around them from a spiritual perspective. I mean, no idea. So let's go to the New Testament. We'll wrap up here. A few places in the New Testament in closing. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And just some instruction on staying awake. One of my challenges at school, and here's a physical / spiritual perspective. I have these boys that when they come in the classroom, the first thing they do, put their head down on their desk. You know why they put their head down on their desk? They were up all night, or half the night. You know what they were doing half the night? Playing video games. So I go along, and they don't like it, and I'll go along, and I'll be real quiet. Shh. And I'll go up, and I'll or clap my hands and wake them up. They don't like that. But I want them to hear the truth. It's not about, hey, you're in my class and I'm special. No, you need to hear from God. That's what's most important. So wake up. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now look at verse 15. I'm more on this awake thing, staying awake. See then that ye walk, that next word is really a good word, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So in math, there's this thing called the circumference. And circumference is associated with an object known as a circle. Circumference, circle, right? If you are to walk circumspectly, you know what that means? You are aware of everything around you, even though you can only see in one direction. So I understand, you know, you're only looking here and I can only see my peripheral on the sides, but I had better be aware of what's behind me. You ever see people, there's a fellow that Sharon and I worked for at the camp, that wherever he was in a building, I mean almost every time he's in a building, he used to be law enforcement, so every time he's in a building, he's against the wall looking at the whole view so he can see everybody. Doesn't want anybody behind him. Why is that? He's in charge of all these people. He doesn't want something to happen to him and him not be able to do something. Folks, that's the Christian life right there. Wake up and know what's around you. Know what's going on around you. I'm going to get off on some things here, but go to 2 Corinthians 11. Let me alert you of something that's around you that you may or may not be aware of. And again, this is kind of my world, but good to know this. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Here's something that's in our world that your King James Bible knew was coming. And you'll see because of the wording. This past week, and I asked for prayer Wednesday night, and I appreciate those of you who prayed because I had a real good class on Friday about this whole thing. One of the things going on in the world that I really did not want to know anything about, but I end up finding out about it, is what's going on in Hollywood right now and what's at the movies. Now, please don't go looking and see what's in the movies because you got to know. I'm just going to tell you about something that in my world, and Sherry, the same thing, you ought to be at least aware of. You don't need to go see the movie. You don't need to do any of that. The Bible will tell you everything you need to know in one verse. I promise you that. It's the neatest thing. So let me back up before I read the verse. Right now in movie theaters, as of this past week, is this superhero movie called The Avengers. And there's a company called, you ready for this? Marvel Comics that puts it out. And this whole thing is Bible truth twisted and turned on its head. And I'll tell you, one of the many agendas that they're pushing, I had a real good discussion with my boys about it. I don't know how many of them actually think I'm crazy and how many of them actually think I'm telling them something that might be helpful, but I don't care. If they think I'm crazy, that's fine. I'm giving them the truth. So one of the things that goes on in these movies is the bad guy, the villain, you feel sorry for him. You got sympathy for him. You don't want anything bad to happen to him because he had a really rough upbringing. He had a bad background. He couldn't help the way that he was brought up. Okay, so now this villain ends up getting put away and at the end, you know, dies, whatever. I'm not sure that this even happens the way I'm telling you, but something like this. And at the end of the movie, you feel bad for him. Folks, who would want sympathy? Who would want your sympathy that God does not want you to have sympathy for? Can you think of anybody? It's the devil. And There's a band many years ago called the Rolling Stones that had a song called, of all things, you ready? Sympathy for the Devil. You don't think the devil's got an influence in the music industry in Hollywood? All you got to do is look at the titles of the movies and the songs. You don't have to listen to them or watch them. Look at the titles. He's got an influence there. He's got a stronghold there. So this movie has been the rage. In fact, I'll give you a little way. I take the temperature in my room the other day at school. Here we are in Bible class. The boys are at the beginning of class looking up questions to answer from the Bible. We do this every day. 5 questions from the Bible. They got to write down on a little card. They get graded for it. They're looking in a Bible. And right after we finish that, one of the kids does something about this movie that came out this week. And instantly, the temperature in the room changes from Bible to, oh, there's this movie. That was very telling to me. And my immediate reaction was, what do you? I wanted to get mad at him. Come on, don't run. And instead, what I did, it was one of the most fun classes I've had in a long time. We went to the Bible, went over to the book of Daniel, where it talks about iron and iron mixed with clay. And in the movie that they're all in the rage about, there's a guy named Iron Man. And I was able to take them to the Bible and show them That movie has taken Bible prophecy and twisted it to make you think a way that is contrary to the way the Bible would have you think. This is why you need to be awake, folks. Stay awake. The devil's trying to get the best of all of us. Stay awake so he doesn't. I won't go to the verse, 1 Peter 5. Be sober. Be vigilant. If your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a, of all things. We talked about lions, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Last verse, we got to stop here, so we'll end up on this. Go to verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, and this will tie all this together with what I've been talking about. Now, this was your King James Bible. 1611 is when it was completed. And I believe that God had a hand in those men choosing certain words to put in English from Hebrew and Greek. And I'll tell you, this is as up-to-date as it could possibly be in 2019. Think about what I just mentioned about the movie. Look at verse 14. And no, what's that word? I don't think that's coincidental. Because look at what the rest of the verse says. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of... So these boys that I'm talking about watch this movie, and they have sympathy towards a villain because he's portrayed as not such a bad guy. What's the devil trying to push off on you, push off on the whole world? That he's really an angel of light. He's really not that bad. And how does he do it? The mediums we got of Hollywood and the music industry, just two of many. And I just think that's interesting that your King James Bible says no marvel in putting that all together right there. Folks, it's high time we heard from God. It's high time we told some other people about what God said. It's high time we wake up out of our sleep and stay doing something for the Lord. Young or old, you've been saved a short time, a long time. Every one of us can hear. You may not know as much as somebody else. You can tell what you know, though. Hear, tell, and stay awake. In this dark world we live in, we need those things. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just the truth you laid out for us again. Just up to date as can be. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you've shown us. Help us all to hear and tell and be awake as we go through our day today and throughout this week. Lord, just arm us with truth. May we put on the armor as we heard in Sunday school in the back this morning and be just ready to defend and as well as go on the offensive in this dark world we live in that you placed us here for a reason. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.